Y'all working on that? Yeah. let it move you. We're talking about God's grace in this and allowing God's grace to move us in our lives. And today what I want to talk about is how God's grace can set us free. I mean, have you ever had that experience where you've done something wrong, you knew you did something wrong, and you get to a point where you go, I did it. You acknowledge it, but then you can't let it go. So what you do, you sentence yourself. You punish yourself, and guilt sets in. And for some, that season of guilt is just a little while. And for other people, that guilt becomes a life sentence. You know, James says this. He says, if you obey every law except one, you're still guilty of breaking them all. That's a tough verse. Now, obviously, when it comes to guilt, there's various levels of guilt in our lives and how it sets in. And we look at sin a lot of times and we go, well, you know, this is worse than that, this is minor, that's major, and that's just human nature that we look at it that way. James is making a point that whether you have sinned one time or a bunch of sins, whether it's a big sin in your mind or it's a little sin, James is making the point that we're all guilty, that we're all in the same situation together. You know, I mean, what's guilt? Well, guilt, I think we know what it feels like, but it's kind of hard to explain, isn't it? The psalmist, I think, does a good job explaining it. The psalmist writes, it says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. See, we all know the feeling of being overwhelmed in our lives with something that we've done. We all have that feeling of, I hope nobody finds this out, that nobody knows what I did. We have that feeling of guilt that kind of sets in. And friends, that's by God's design. You do something wrong, and by default, God-given design, guilt sets in. You know, you do something wrong, and God basically says, okay, you did something wrong, live with it for a while. The purpose of guilt is not simply for us to feel bad. In fact, guilt has a much greater purpose in our lives. Guilt is actually a warning light that goes off, that says something is wrong, something needs to be addressed and fixed. It's kind of like when the warning light in your car goes off. You see the light go off and it tells you something's wrong with the car, something needs to be fixed. And everybody deals with that warning light differently, don't they? I mean, some of you immediately, you pick up the phone, you call the garage, make an appointment, you gotta get it in to get it fixed. Some people pound on the dash. You know, they hope that it's a fluke. Oh, the light just come on. Yeah. Some people treat that warning light like it's a malfunction, and so they just kind of ignore it. And other people, when the light goes off, they know it went off, but they keep driving. And in fact, I went to school with a guy. Every time I got in his car, the oil light was on. For months, this oil light's on. I'd get in his car and go, hey, your oil light's on. Have you checked your oil? You know, you really ought to check your oil because that means your oil's probably low. And then one night he called the dorm. This is before cell phones. And he called the dorm. He needed a ride because his car had seized up. And I remember he walked everywhere after that, or he was always trying to hitch a ride the rest of the school year. That's how a lot of people deal with guilt in their life. They just pretend. It's like it's not a deal. Like the light goes off, it'll go away. But the truth is, if something is really wrong, the best thing you can do is address it and try and fix it. Now, when it comes to a car, I could try and fix it, but I will be honest with you. I know very little about cars. I'm not a good mechanic. In fact, I'm clueless, unless it's something really simple like, oh, the tire's flat. You need gas. I need to stay away from a car. I need a real mechanic to handle things. The same thing is true in our lives. When that warning light goes off, you need to spend a little bit of time with what I would call the master mechanic in life. You need to spend some time with God. And the fact is, as we spend time with God, we can begin to understand what we need to do, what we need to fix. And so what I want to do today a little bit is kind of unpack the difference between real guilt and false guilt. Because I think this is a problem in our world. The fact is, real guilt, genuine guilt, guilt that we've earned, comes from the fact that we've done something wrong. We've hurt ourselves, or we've hurt someone that we love, or we've hurt the heart of God. The fact is, we've actually done something. Real guilt, you earn it. You earn it. Either by doing something you shouldn't have done, or by not doing something you should have done. And because of our inaction or our actions, we feel guilty. That's genuine guilt. On the other hand, there's a lot of false guilt out there. False guilt, you have this sense of guilt in you. And it's unfounded. You know, you have this nagging feeling that the warning light in your life, it should be lit up, but it's broken. And so you go, I just feel bad. People, I hear it all the time. People will say, I don't know what I did exactly, but I feel bad. I'm sure I did something wrong. And the fact is, if you're dealing with false guilt, one of the ways you can get at it is you probably beat yourself up a lot. You know, you probably look at life and you go, oh, I mess up all the time. I'm always disappointing everybody. I let people down. I mean to follow through, but I don't. And so the guilt has no real tangible basis. Does that make sense? The guilt many times is the result of something someone else has done, something that's not your fault. You know, people who struggle in this area with false guilt, most of the time they've gotten caught up in someone else's sin, and that is that kind of circle around them. You know, maybe it was a parent, or maybe it was a friend or someone really close to them. Many times it's they've went through something very traumatic, whether it be physically or mentally or emotionally, maybe sexual abuse. Many times people went through this at a young age, and so what happens is inside we just get stuck. We just get stuck. The fact is, for some, it's a prison that they just can't get out of. And they're held captive, again, by something someone else did, false guilt. I will tell you, false guilt is toxic. It's toxic. It spills in our life. Other people, I think, battle with a false guilt because they can't get past their past. You know, again, I hear it all the time. People go, I've asked God 100 times to forgive me, and I just don't feel forgiven because I know what I did, and it was awful. And so they can't get past their past. All of us here probably deal with some level of false guilt in our lives. And I'll be blunt, because I've watched churches through the years, and the fact is, false guilt is really popular with churchgoers. It's where faith becomes more about pointing fingers than pointing people to Jesus Christ. You know, faith becomes more about convicting people. Oh, look at those people. How could they be like that? Instead of freeing people up in their life. You know, the New Testament, the book of Galatians, Paul, he's talking to people who are struggling with this false guilt thing. They're struggling with how to break free from guilt. And so they devise a strategy. they're going to do a lot of things to get themselves free from this. They're going to do a lot of things to be put themselves in a good position. Paul writes this. He says, you began your life in Christ with the Spirit. And you can almost hear him say, what happened here? Now do you try to complete it by your own power? That's foolishness. When you struggle with false guilt, many times you try and make it better. You try and make it better on your own. You fall into a trap of, you know what, if I do this and this and this, if I do enough things, I'll feel better about myself and I'll feel better about what's going on. And friends, I will tell you, it does not work. It does not work. So how do you know the difference between genuine guilt and false guilt? Well, I'd ask you to ask yourself three questions. First of all, is the focus God or is the focus on people? You know, false guilt comes from that sense of, for many, the judgment of others. You know, the true guilt, I believe, is divine. True guilt is the result of what you do and you know it's wrong. But the false guilt, it trips you up. It trips you up. You start struggling with people's approval. Anybody need people's approval in your life? Need a lot of people's approval? That'll get you that false guilt. And here's the problem, I think, with false guilt. You never can do enough. Some of you, maybe that's what you needed to hear today. You can never do enough to get enough approval to make the guilt go away. The fact is, you will wear yourself out. You will get tired at points. You cannot live up to everybody's expectations in your life. And so the first test, you look and you go, okay, do I feel guilty because of people or because of God? Because when God says, you know what, you need to work on this, that's a whole nother deal. Is it vague or is it specific? There's a good question. Again, I talk to people. People go, I just feel guilty all the time. I feel like I'm in this prison. I can't get out of it. You know, I don't know what I've done. And I'll go, why do you feel guilty? I don't know. I just do. And most of the time, if I dig, it's this vague thing. They can't pin it down. And I will tell you, that's not God saying you've done something. I mean, when it's genuine guilt, the light goes off, God will pin you. You will know what's wrong. It will not be vague. It will not be unknowable. In fact, it'll be very specific. You know, you will sense, okay, here's what's wrong, and here's how you fix it. Is it about rules or relationships in your life? When you struggle with false guilt, the fact is, again, you feel the guilt and you're like, I'm sure I did something. But genuine guilt, it knows very specifically, I hurt somebody. See, relationship. I hurt my spouse. I hurt my kids. I hurt a friend, or I hurt the company. I broke God's heart, but it's very relationship-based. Friends, when rules become more important than relationships, when faith becomes a religion rather than a relationship with God, I will tell you, watch out. Watch out, because false guilt will blind you. It will blind you to the miraculous things that God's doing in your life. You know, false guilt will bind you to the meticulous rules of people. False guilt will enslave you. It will destroy you ultimately. False guilt will keep you from experiencing the abundant life that God has planned for you. I mean, whatever kind of guilt, whether it's false or real, genuine, we've got our ways of, we try and deal with guilt, don't we? But I will tell you, God's got a very different way of dealing with it. You know, when that warning light goes off in your life, when that guilt light flashes, what do you do? What do you do? You know, remember Adam and Eve, first man, first woman, first sin? I mean, they dealt with their sin, and I think it's they're very contemporary. I think we can all relate to it. You know, the story, if you want to read it, it's found in Genesis 3. It's a great read. And the fact is, that first time, Adam and Eve, they sin. They end up eating from the fruit that they were told to stay away from. And so they sow some fig leaves together, and they covered their nakedness, their shame in their life. And then they try and hide from God. And when God found Adam and Eve, when he found Adam first, he says, "Why are you hiding?" He goes, I was afraid. I was naked, so I hid. I was ashamed." And then God kind of presses him and goes, why'd you eat the fruit?" Love his answer. "The woman you gave to me." "The woman you gave to me gave me the fruit, and so I ate it." See, blame game. You know, friends, often when we sin, our first response is shame. We feel bad. Shame's purpose is not to keep us feeling bad. Understand this. It's not to keep you there. That shame, that guilt that we feel initially, is to help us move forward in our life and deal with the sin in our life. But shame alone cannot fix anything. You know, Adam and Eve, they sin. They go high fashion, and they put together some clothing line, and you know, and then they try and cover it up, and they try and cover their shame, and then they hide. This is so funny to me. They're hiding behind a tree, the tree that God created, the tree that God made, and God finds them. I mean, their attempt fails, basically. It's a little bit like the light goes off in your car, and you cover it up like it's not there. Pretend everything's okay. It doesn't work. I mean, you know what's on, right? You know the light's on. God knows the light's on. Adam and Eve, they're trying to hide from God, but it just fails. It just messes up. I mean, when all else fails, they start to deflect the blame. I love it. Adam blames Eve. It's her fault. Eve, who's she blame? Serpent. And it would be a humorous story if it wasn't so tragic. And then I think, you know what? We do the same thing, don't we? We try and cover up our sin. We try hiding. Don't want anybody to find out. We try deflecting the blame, and none of it works. None of it works. So what do you do? What do you do when you mess up? What do you do when you feel guilt and it starts setting in? Friends, the only way you overcome guilt is through God's grace. Through God's grace. 1 John 1:9 says, "But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from everything we've done wrong." That is an equation. That's an equation for life. If we confess our sins, that's our part. He is faithful and just. See, you add that. You confess. God says He's faithful, He's just, and it equals forgiveness. He forgives us our sins and cleanses us from everything we've done wrong. That's how God works. Grace really is enough to overcome all things. It truly is enough. You know that sin that makes you sick? that sin that isolates us in life, that sin that tears you apart sometimes, holds you captive in some prison cell, that sin, it can be gone without a trace. If you confess the sin, if you confess it, confess the sin. Don't try and hide it. I mean, how do you confess? We just go to God in prayer. You know, the fact is, you just talk to God about what's going on. You let God know what you've done. And see, we get messed up here. We think prayer's about our needs, about God doing something for us. But it's also about taking our sins to God. There comes a point, if you're going to break free from the guilt, you have to confess. Yeah, you have to say to God, you know what, I did it. I messed up. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It's the way forward in our lives. It's the way you find freedom. You know, the psalmist says, God, you know what I've done wrong. I cannot hide my guilt from you. There is nothing more miserable than trying to hide something you cannot hide. I will tell you, it's exhausting. And here's the crazy thing. We try and hide whatever it is that we're struggling with, whatever it is that we've done. We try and hide it from God. And God already knows it. Does that make any sense? You know, just confess it. Own it. It's not complicated. You pray. You talk to God about what you've done. You talk to God about the situation that you're struggling with. You might sit down. I always give people kind of a way to get at this if they're struggling with it, and that is just sit down with a piece of paper and be very specific and say, God, I did this. Write the word down or words and just go, this is what I've done. Because when you write it down finally, as hard as that is, you own it finally. And it doesn't matter if it's real guilt, genuine guilt, false guilt. Just write down the thing that you're struggling with, that you feel bad about. And then burn it. Again, it's just a tangible way, because as you burn that sin and say, God, I'm giving it to you, the ashes that you're left with is God's grace. God says, it's gone. There's no trace of it anymore. You can't see it. There's nothing left, nothing left. Only grace. Grace is enough in our lives. You know, the Bible encourages Christ followers to share their sins with each other, to find a good, trusted Christian friend. You know, some of you maybe you're struggling, been struggling a long time. You go, I just feel guilty. I've asked God, but I feel guilty. I would challenge you to find one Christian brother or sister and just say, I need to tell you this. You know, James says this. He says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. What happens when you talk to someone about it and you go, look, here's what I'm struggling with. Do you know what happens in that moment? Most of the time, that person will go, you know, I've struggled with stuff like that. Or, you know, I get it. I didn't do that, but I've done this. And all of a sudden, you realize you're not alone. You realize it's not so big, this thing that you think's just unforgivable. And it's healing and it's freeing. Confess your sins to God. Tell a close Christian friend. It's God's way of dealing with guilt. You know, and I know some of you go, I've done that. I've done that. I've confessed my sins. I've done it over and over and over and over. Same thing, and I just can't let it go. I do not feel forgiven. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? To forgive us our sins and cleanse us from everything we've done wrong. If we're going to experience God's grace in our lives, see, not only do we confess our sin, but you have to trust God's character. You have to trust God's character. Many people confess their sins, but they don't really feel forgiven. And you know why? Most of the time, it's because they've never really gotten to know God. They keep God out there somewhere. Friends, you get to know God and you begin to understand that God is faithful, God is just, that God will forgive your sins. It's who God is. You can count on God. You know, we get caught in this, I would call it a cycle. And that is, I can't really get close to God. Why? Because I don't feel forgiven. It's a trap. Do you see this? It's a trap. When you get close to God, all of a sudden, you realize that God loves you. As you get close to God, you realize he loved you so much he sent his son to die on the cross for you. As you get close to God, you begin to understand who God is, and you understand that he loves you so much that he's going to cut you free. He's going to set you free. He's going to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with. But as long as you keep God way out there somewhere, arm's length, you're not going to feel forgiven. You're not. The Hebrew writer says, let us come near to God with a sincere heart and sure faith, because we have been made free from a guilty conscience and our bodies have been washed with pure water. When you draw close to God, there's only love. There's only grace. There's only mercy. And friends, it's enough. It's enough. That's what the cross was all about. That's what Easter's all about. It was about giving our lives to the one that gave his life. You know, when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you make him Savior and Lord of your life, you can draw near to God with a sincere heart, with a sure faith. And as you draw near, you know what? You can count on that he will forgive you, that he will love you and care for you. I remember the first time my brother, he went roller skating with me. We were little. I had been several times. I was about in sixth grade at the time. My brother's 4 years younger than me, and so he had never been. And we're on our way to Skateland. My mom's taking us, and he's asking all kinds of questions. And he's wanting to know what it's going to be like and everything. And I started telling him how dangerous this is. I mean, it's really dangerous, dude. Yeah, you got to be really careful because people get run over on the rink. And, I mean, it's bad. People have lost arms. They've lost legs. People get knocked unconscious after collisions. And I said, I think, I'm not positive, but they've said some people have died from falls out there. It's the kind of thing brothers do for brothers. We got brothers, right? That's what you do for your brother. So we arrive at the skating rink, get our skates, and I get them on, and I'm out, and I'm going around and around, and my brother, he's taking forever. He's just lollygagging, and I keep checking on him, go, you almost there? Yeah, he's getting close. Finally, I realize he's not going to go out, and so I start coaxing him. I go, come on, it'll be all right. I may have exaggerated just a little bit about how bad it is, and so he gets out there, he's clinging to the outside board, and no kidding, we were there a couple hours. I don't know if he made it around two or maybe three times because he's just gripped the board. As soon as the session ends, he becomes the Flash at that point. I mean, he gets his skates off, gathers his stuff, and he races to the front door, and he's waiting for my mom to arrive. And so mom pulls up. He bolts out to the car, gets in the back seat, he curls up over in the corner, and mom goes, how was skating? And I go, it was great, it was awesome, mom. And my brother doesn't say a word. And so mom finally, she's like, Flint, how was skating? And I'll never forget this. He goes, I didn't fall down and I didn't get killed. Apparently, he didn't like skating. I don't know. Friends, living the Christian life, living in grace is more than making it through. It's more than hanging on to the walls and hoping you don't fall. Friends, God wants you to enjoy life and experience His grace in the midst of it. He wants you enjoying life and not living a life where you're afraid, oh no, I'm going to fall. And here's a newsflash for you. You will fall. Some of you will fall a lot. And when you do, you ask for forgiveness. And God will reach out and say, take my hand and let's get up again. Let's start again. And God will give you the strength so that you can skate a little further without falling. And when you fall, He'll give you strength to skate a little further. And He'll keep doing that over and over and over and over again until there will come a point where you start cruising around the rink of life. And you start enjoying life. Friends, you can trust God. You can trust God. God's faithful. He's always faithful. He'll get you through whatever it is you're going through. You know, John writes this. He says, people who believe in God's Son are not judged guilty. That's an awkward statement there, but it's so true. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, there is no reason to live in a prison. The verdict, it's already been determined. If you're a Christian, the verdict is not guilty. Yeah, but you don't know how bad it was. Not guilty. Yeah, but not guilty. Friends, you're going to make mistakes. We all have. And when you sin, you simply confess it. And God will forgive it. It's called grace. And it keeps you moving forward. And it keeps you moving on. See, you confess your sin. God's faithful. But here's the deal, you got to accept God's forgiveness. You got to accept it. No matter what you have done, no matter what the sin is, God will forgive it. Now, I want to be clear about something. Because the fact is, when you sin, most of the time there are consequences to those sins. Some of those consequences are tough. The fact is, there are things that we do that we will spend the rest of our life knowing that we did them. That's the reality. You carry that because the consequences spill. The forgiveness of God does not wipe away the natural consequences, but the grace of God will see you through. The grace of God, when those consequences are dire, the grace of God can help you in those times too. You know, the fact is, the grace of God will help you push through in your life. The grace of God will give you the strength to do what you need to do. The grace of God will give you the strength to confess those things. The grace of God will help you come clean and maybe go to someone and ask for forgiveness from them. The grace of God will help you take the steps to right the wrongs as much as you can. Sometimes there's nothing to be done. The grace of God will see you through. My point is, the grace of God's enough. The grace of God is enough in your life. Some of you have lived with a lot of guilt for a long time. In fact, that guilt has become so familiar that you just go, oh, I'm going to use this somehow. And so we use the guilt to motivate us. I'll use guilt to motivate me. You know, I'll use guilt to keep me out of trouble. And so I can't kind of feed on the guilt. You know, some of you got up this morning and had breakfast. And along with your breakfast, you had a little guilt. Yeah. You know, you have guilt at lunch. Why? Because it keeps you going. And some of you, if you were really honest, you've felt guilty for so long about this thing, whatever it is, that you're almost afraid to let the guilt go. Because you're afraid that maybe the guilt keeps me safe. And friends, here's what I would say to you. Do you really think that guilt is stronger than the power of God? I mean, some of you have been running from guilt and pretending, oh, I haven't done anything wrong. You know, culture says it's cool, I'm good. You know, my friends say, oh, who cares? You know, that's just God. That's just, you know, this whole being godly doesn't really matter. Friends, when you pretend the guilt's not real, pretend you haven't done anything wrong, some of you have been running so long and trying to run so hard and hoping nobody finds out and trying to lie to yourself about what's really going on. You're exhausted. I mean, some of you look at your life and you're like, well, you know, it's not that bad. Look at so-and-so. Well, if it wasn't that bad, why are you struggling with it? You know, the psalmist says, finally. Can you hear that? Finally. I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you what? Forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Some of you need the first half of this verse. I confessed all my sins. You know, you need the first half to say, God, I am tired. I am tired of running. I am exhausted. I confess. And you just need to say it. Some of you need the second half of this. And you forgave me all, not some, all my guilt is gone. For some strange reason, people have a hard time putting the two pieces together. Friends, when you come to God with whatever it is and you confess, you will only find grace. You'll only find love. You'll only find mercy. And my point, it's enough. It is enough. It will get you through. Your sins will be gone. Nothing left, not a trace of it. The only thing you will have is God's grace. And so get back up again. You know, whatever it is, get back up again. Get again and again and again and again and again and again and again in your life. You just keep getting back up. And you know what happens? God will forgive you every single time. Not because you deserve it. I want to be clear. But because God loves you. God loves you. So get back up. We're going to remain seated. I challenge you this morning. Band's going to sing the song they sang earlier. And just during that, if there's something, because I know as I've been talking to some of you, that thing, it's there. You go, yeah. I challenge you just to say during that song some point, just go, God, I'm giving it to you today. You died for me. You love me. And I'm going to risk, and I'm giving it to you because I'm tired and exhausted. And allow God to do that as we prepare for communion. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, all of us here today, we all battle with guilt. Something we did yesterday, something we did 20 years ago, it just creeps in. And God, I know the evil one wants to hold us captive, but God, I pray today you just set people free. God, I know you have the power. We just got to trust you. God, I pray that we would just lift those things to you this morning. That we'd walk out of here free, free indeed. We are free in your son's name. We've been set free. God, I thank you that you loved us so much. That you paid the price for those things. God, I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love and your mercy. God, I thank you for Jesus. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.